another edition of the Fallscast, brought to you by the Falls Tree Press in beautiful Cauga Falls, Ohio. Today, Sunday, March 20th. Tad chilly, but we're past winter.
I have seen robins all over now, which means spring is here.
The last snowfall last year was May 9th.
We're not talking about last year. We will not talk about last year.
We have had snow in the summer before. I know.
We're definitely in the pollinating right now.
Is that like the quickening?
Yes.
Yeah. So
from Highlander.
I've never watched Highlander.
That can be only one.
Oh, really?
Really?
Yeah.
I do really, hope wait, that spring is here. I have seen robins too.
I think spring is here. I mean, we might get a little winter here and there.
Yeah. Winter is the Kurgan.
Our dogs are shedding their coats.
Our cat is shedding like crazy, so I feel like it's coming. Spring is here. Have faith.
We're here with the usual crowd of
misfits.
Watch it now. What are you going to do? Hold on.
You got to find just the right descriptor.
You're going to say something
mean.
Needs
more coffee.
Motley crew.
Oh, man.
We have Mike Searle.
Hello, everybody.
Suzanne Searle.
Hello.
Cassie McMenemy.
Hello.
Stephen Mulay.
Hello.
And Jennifer Mulay.
Howdy doodly do.
And I, Bart, am your moderator.
Bart, yay.
Bart, tell him you.
I never introduce myself, and this will be the only time I do.
No. Oh, man. All right, we'll enjoy it now.
That's all you get.
We do not have an interview on this week's Fallscast.
Boo.
But be sure to check out our last episode with an interview with Karen Norden.
Yeah.
That one has been a very popular one, I've noticed in the statistics.
It was a really good interview.
Mm-hmm.
And also be sure to check out our website. We've had a bunch of new articles popping up.
We do.
You can read about some of the changes that are coming for South State Road.
Yes.
Including the biking trail through Cascade Valley and the new bridge that's going to be coming.
I'm super excited to ride that when it's all done. I think it's going to be a couple years,
yeah.
But
oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be cool.
Oh, and it's exciting.
It's connecting to Hudson, right?
Yeah.
Is that part of the Veterans Trail, one that they're doing down on Front Street, or is that a different one? Okay.
I don't know, but I thought it was going to Hudson.
So the connector between the National Park and Cascade Valley, Mayor Walters explained, will make it possible to bike the area down Chestnut to Sackett and Cauga Street, reaching the trails once inside Cascade Valley.
Nice.
Okay.
And then you'd be able to, on the other way, other side, you know, come from that area and come up to the falls.
Right.
Because I saw
a really good article about it. If you haven't checked it out, you should go read it. There's some good information in there. Sorry, Mike.
No, I was going to say, I saw, it was last week, the week before, that they are moving forward with the plans from a few years back of doing the, I think it was called the Veterans Trail. That's connecting Hudson through Stowe, through Cauga Falls and whatnot along the old train tracks on Bailey, which they were going to take those out and make a bike and hike trail through
those
cities.
There's two different park reconstruction or additions happening. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's cool.
I remember they were talking about that like years ago, but I think that section of train track was owned by Metro, I believe.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of, you know,
regulatory stuff
going back and forth and, you know, the rights away and all that stuff, but I believe they finally got the okay to go ahead with that and make a nice, cool little trail, you know?
Yeah.
I heard somewhere that it was going to go, you can actually go from Barlow Farm in Hudson all the way to Cascade Valley and...
Or Waterworks, something like
that.
Door
to Waterworks, yeah.
I can't remember exactly where it ended, but in the falls.
At all.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Barlow Farm used to be our... When I was growing up, I had a house in that development, and I have fond memories of the Barlow Farm. It was actually, I knew Mr. Barlow when I was a little kid, and he used to take me on hay rides.
Okay, this is interesting because my grandmother worked for Dr. Barlow, who was a dentist, which I think was part of that Barlow family.
Wow.
Yeah, he was actually a bus driver. He actually drove my bus for a number of years. If it was a long, he drove buses for 30 some years as a side job to his being a farmer.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
I wonder if there was a relation. Now I got to find out.
Well, be sure to check out those articles on our website, and be sure to send your feedback. about the articles, about the show. Tell us what you think by sending your comments to falsepress@gmail.com or send them to us on Facebook. And review the FalseCast on whatever podcast catcher you use. Apple Podcasts, Spotify. This is your chance to tell us what you think of us.
You sure you want to put that out there?
Kathy smells like cheese.
Kathy!
There's too many cats on the podcast.
But only good cheese.
I'm not saying anything.
Sneaky blue cheese. Stilton.
My husband's mean. He's mean.
Yes. Yes, I am.
Blue cheese is good. Yeah, you know.
Yes, it's delicious. It's delicious.
Yuck. No, I don't like blue cheese.
It's nasty.
Mm-hmm. Wrong.
I will eat gorgonzola.
It's moldy.
Yeah.
So before we jump into the round table, how is everybody this week?
I am, you know, we're going to be talking about this, so we can wait, but I'm on a struggle bus, man. This whole time change.
Oh, no.
It messes me up.
Just well, that's like,
the Senate.
Yeah, let's jump right into it.
Let's just jump. Sorry.
Yeah, no, jump right into it.
Luckily, I was off during the time change, so recovering from knee surgery. So,
yeah, you're able to. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that technically means you have one less hour of pain.
True.
Being positive.
Love it.
But maybe the House will vote to, you know, do away with the time change and make it permanent.
What do you guys think? Do you think that that's a good idea or a bad idea? I mean, I know we all struggle a lot when it comes to changing the clock. And I remember when my kiddos were really little, I hated it because it messed up their bedtime routine and getting them up. And I know that I am like just all messed up for a week or two with it, just trying to adjust. Yeah. Do you think it's a good idea to?
We're going to have to drive in the dark one way or the other for those of us who are working. Mm-hmm. It's either going to be darker in the morning or darker in the evening, depending on which season we're at, in either time change. So there's no getting around that.
Yeah.
And I did read up, they had, in the early 70s, they did eliminate the time change, and it only lasted 2 years, and then everyone was like, oh, there's kids getting hit on the walking to school and stuff. So, you know, but, you know, there's a lot of people that drive home at 5:30, and in the dead of winter, it's dark already. So
very dark,
I think I would prefer that it was lighter when I got home from work so I could enjoy more light out.
Me too.
That's my take on it. And I don't foresee any of the dangers. You're going to have either the morning or the evening, there might be, you know, a little more caution needed for driving in the dark.
Yeah. We have technology too. We have lights that we can put out.
But having it dark in the evening at 5 o'clock, I think most kids would be home from school by then. So they would still be daylight. And I'm not crazy about having the sun rising at 9 o'clock in the morning. That's like,
it'll be weird.
Yeah.
It'll be weird. But I don't know.
It's always an adjustment, but it's, I don't know if that's the best thing to eliminate, if we could just change it. I don't know.
I saw online somebody suggested just do a half hour. Just do it. Move
you know,
it
I was just
going
to say that. Maybe try to like do it in increments.
I don't know about that.
Do like 20 minutes for each, you know, week or something for a month. I don't know. It just feels like I am just dead to the world for at least a week or two before I adjust it, and it's fine. So, and I always complain about it, and I always want to get rid of it. But I also can see why it's a positive thing, because kids are walking to school.
Yeah, well, we should listen to our circadian rhythms, man. These have evolved for tens of thousands of years, and we're not doing it right. You know, we're indoors all the time. We're not getting enough light as it is. I know. But, you know, I think humans are supposed to have this period of, there's a word for it. I forgot what it was, but where we're supposed to like sleep sometime in the mid morning and then later at night, but then be awake from like 1 to 4 a.m. and then go back to sleep for several hours. There's some sleeping pattern that's more natural like that.
What? That's bullshit.
Well, it was definitely popular
in the old days
before, modernization, industrialization,
right?
When there was no electricity, they had to, because there's no light out and resources. No one had lots and lots of candles to burn, so
somebody had to get up, stoke the fire.
So just, you know, you just
smoke a big old fatty and go back to bed,
or you have to use the bucket that's a toilet in the corner,
or that go outside. Anyway, I don't know. I just think that making it one way or the other would be good instead of flip-flopping it.
Hey,
I'm ambivalent. I'm ambivalent completely. I've always been ambivalent about the time change. It's whatever. It's never really bothered me that much one way or the other. Yeah, it takes me, you know.
Steve never has to get up early, that's why.
Well, no, even when I used to have to get up early and go to work, I would just say, yeah, you get used to it. But, of course, I was a lot younger back then, so.
You do get used to it, but it does. The first week or so, I'm a struggle. Yesterday, I just laid around and did absolutely nothing. It was also rainy and kind of eh.
Yeah.
But I feel better this morning. I woke up and I'm like, oh, I'm starting to feel a little human again.
Mm.
But it just kind of messes up your clock a little bit. You get used to it. But I'm excited. We'll see. We'll see. A little change. Yeah. See what happens.
You know, see how the Senate moved on it, so.
Yeah, the Sunshine Protection Act. We have to protect that sunshine.
Yeah. Yeah, and who was it that actually
protect the Sunshine Act?
Well, I mean, in Ohio, it's so rare that you
humans are so
and you need to protect it.
We have to protect the blazing ball of gas that'll melt everyone. It's going to explode in 4 billion years, but yeah, we're going to protect it with our little time change.
Changing the. Well, you know, they did say that this issue is uniting the United States. So if it's doing nothing, at least we can all agree that we need to change it or something. It's like. We're so divided. We're like, this issue we can get behind.
So, yeah, maybe come November of next year, we won't be changing our clocks back.
Yeah.
I thought they said it wouldn't take effect till 23.
That's next year, friend.
That's next year.
Yeah. Yeah, but you just said November.
So it would be
next year.
Oh, yeah, next year. Durr. Never mind. More coffee.
For you, buddy.
More coffee.
I see drinking it right now.
delicious.
Yummy.
Meanwhile, Cuyahoga Falls Good Neighbors are giving out free carbon monoxide detectors to all their clients who come in for food or clothing, thanks to a $7,000 grant from the Home Depot Foundation.
That is awesome.
I thought that was so generous of the manager, his name was Tom something, from Home Depot that made that possible. That is really cool. How long do carbon monoxide detectors last? Because we've had ours for 25 years.
I think it's probably not last.
Most.
Yeah, I think it's probably time to replace it.
It's time to get a new one?
Yeah, I would
probably.
Say so.
Probably.
It's a plug-in one. It's electric.
Oh, it's plug-in.
It's electric, but I don't know. Is there a meter in it that
I don't know.
I need to talk to the fire department.
Maybe our listeners will know and can let us know.
It's old.
Should Steve and Jen change their carbon dioxide detector?
But
I will
patronize Home Depot for that to support the so
absolutely
good on them.
That's usually where we go anyway because it's like 5 minutes from our house.
And but if we found one at Mark's or something cheap or a Target, so you know you can be deliberate with your choices.
I've given Home Depot enough of my money over the years.
Yeah, well, they are a necessary company.
Yep.
So. For Jen and everybody who's listening, according to the Seattle Fire Department,
you should
replace your carbon monoxide detectors every 7 years.
Oh, shoot. Oops. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you. Got it. We're off to Home Depot.
So we should be on our third one now.
Yeah.
Okay, you should.
I'm still breathing. Still alive.
Maybe even
Steve already replaced it. Wink, wink. He replaced it twice. Wink, wink. Wink.
And apparently, you know they're going bad if it has one beep every minute. That means the detector has low batteries, and you should replace them.
There's our plugins, though.
Yeah,
they're hardwired.
Every time I unplug it, it whistles. Yeah.
Oh, I am so sorry, Bart. I am so sorry.
That's not even a word we can use with this.
I will mute myself.
Oh, man. Maybe we should record, like, let people see what happens. See Bart's face.
Bonus content.
Yeah, he's like writing this down.
We can do screenshots.
It's almost like it's
send out screenshots on our website.
The Bart's facial expressions are like.
When Mike said this.
It's silent commentary. Yeah, silent commentary on the current conversation, and it's gold.
we can talk about crispy fish after that.
Yeah.
We can just roll right into it.
Yeah.
That, depending on your stomach, might cause that detector to go off. Oh, Bart.
Oh, yeah. Go, Bart, go.
Or maybe too much, you know, cholesterol.
So proud of you.
You're
just tell your stomach to hush, puppy. Because Arthur treats
her.
I
mean,
which I've learned, we ate Big Yui's a few weeks ago, and I ordered a side of corn fritters.
Okay.
They're fucking hush puppies. They just had a different word. I was like, what? These were hush puppies. Because I thought, but they were actually a little bit different because they were filled with little corn nuggets. They had corn kernels.
They were awesome.
Okay. They were good. But it was, I get the cornmeal, and it was fried.
So it's
kind of
like an
apple
fritter, but it's a corn fritter. Okay.
Yeah. So it was a hush puppy with corn kernels.
Were they round or were they like fingers?
Well, I didn't know that, and I got surprised. But it was delicious.
Were they like round like hush puppies? Or
they were round like hush puppies.
Okay.
Yeah, they were awesome.
Well, Arthur Treacher's on State Road, the country's last Arthur Treacher's.
Last standalone.
Yes. Put together with other places.
Right.
There's one in Myrtle Beach that's part of another business, like a Dairy Queen. And like it's like a business that like half of it's Arthur Treacher and half of it's another food.
Yes, Steve.
Like a KFC Taco Bell.
Yeah.
Or delicious. The Long John Silver's Taco Bell.
Yeah.
Or the Pizza Hut Taco Bell.
When
Taco Bell wins the restaurant wars.
Pizza Hut, Taco Bell, and something else.
Apparently, they will be celebrating their 50th anniversary, our location, on June 30th, 1 year after the mayor declared that day to be Arthur's Treacher's Day in Cauga Falls.
I have never eaten there.
No?
So we stopped by, like, a couple weeks ago, and I had my first experience at Arthur's Treacher's, so.
What did you get?
I got like a fish sandwich and some hush puppies.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Was it a good experience?
Yeah, it was all right. I mean, you know, I like
it's heavy duty, greasy,
it's greasy,
fast food. Yeah. I mean, it's delicious, but it's like 3,000 calories for one meal.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
it also wasn't like super, I mean, yeah, it's greasy and oily, but it didn't come across as greasy and oily.
No, it doesn't. It's just heavy. There's a lot of
yeah, it's heavy. It's rich.
It's well tasty, well cooked.
All of it's fried.
Perfectly cooked
the
fried.
Fries,
food, so it's all fried
the hush
too.
Puppies, oh, the fish. Right. So it's just, that's what I meant by greasy and heavy, but it's delicious.
Yeah, it is. And the fried chicken's amazing.
I haven't had it before.
I like
it's
fried
good. Chicken.
Yeah, it's very
it's good. All right. Yeah, because last year when this whole thing was coming. Yeah, I bet. When this all, it became, you know, Arthur Treacher's Day, Steve and I hadn't been there. And we're like, let's go. And we did. And it was like, whoa, it was good. But, you know, we've eaten there a couple times, but, you know, it's got to be a treat because it's just so good.
It's got to be an occasion. Yeah.
Yeah.
If I'm going to do it again, I would skip the fries and just get like the fried meats. And then I would go make myself a salad at home.
Yeah. That's the balance.
Balance it out.
Balance it. Yeah.
Cuyahoga Falls Library has changes for this summer. As of this past Wednesday, masks are optional for customers, and beginning April 1st, meeting rooms will be available for groups to use.
I went into the library like on Friday, and I didn't wear a mask. I felt guilty!
Oh,
scandalous.
It's weird, right?
Like, the past few weeks, we've been going out to eat at restaurants, and we're not wearing our masks in the restaurants, but when we're going to like Marks or, you know, any other big shopping place.
Marks, Target, Sam's Club.
We're wearing our masks. And I'm still seeing a percentage, a significant percentage of people with their masks on. So that the library, and a lot of people had masks on in the library. Some didn't. I did have guilt, but I felt safe.
It's just going to be weird because I think we're all going to have a little PTSD on it and trying to adjust to the fact, do we wear masks? Do we not wear masks? And
I don't know.
It's going to be weird.
I think this is going to be we're having a break now until the next out and the next
surge.
Sure.
And there will be another surge.
Don't get rid of your masks. Yeah.
So just don't throw them away.
Yeah.
In about probably 2-3 months, it's going to come roaring back.
Or maybe in a month. I don't know. There's some things happening in the UK and
with Deltacron.
BA2, man. It's a little fucker.
It's already been detected in multiple places all over the country.
The sewage, the wastewater sewage monitoring that's happening in New York, it's showing increases.
And here.
And in Ohio.
Yep.
Yeah, they're doing it here in Akron.
And Texas and California.
They're on like national news because of that.
Because
we were like one of the first cities or first areas to do it, where we started monitoring the poo.
Okay, yeah.
Wait, why are we monitoring the poo?
Wastewater?
What is happening?
Virus shed. They can see elevated levels of virus shed in wastewater. people are excreting it, you know, when they're infected.
Because we have the best poo.
Our scientists can track it. So, yeah, so they're monitoring. It's just an early indicator.
It's still like, what was it, like 2 weeks behind the actual numbers are right now, but they're trying to develop faster and better technology to get on top of a picker so we can figure out how
real time.
Yes.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a shitty job.
It's pretty crappy. Yeah, say, it's pretty crappy.
Colonoscopies for your toilet.
Ew.
Don't look at my poop, man. You're violating my rights.
Rapid testings of our wastewater.
Rapid testing?
Crapid testing.
Crapid testing?
Crapid COVID testing. Oh, shit.
Oh!
Sorry, Bard.
Now he's got to put
that. Just derailed
that
again.
Disclaimer on this one.
The library and masking. But, yeah, just, and I just read something online that the library is going to be the beneficiary of some money from the Front Street and Second Street real estate development. They're going to get $185,000, and Debbie Zaccardi and maybe Tim Gorbach had like said, hey, there's this, you know, real estate deal. Why don't we do some tax monies for the library? So that's really awesome.
That is really awesome.
Sounds great.
So good things are happening with the library. Kind of getting back to normal. They're getting some more dollars.
And if you happen to see helicopters overhead this week, they're not spying on you.
Don't panic.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are, Bart. Way to cover.
First Energy will be flying overhead this week with low-flying helicopters to inspect the city's power lines on Tuesday and Thursday. So they're blue and white Bell helicopters. If they're a different color, they probably are spying on you.
Panic.
All black with no tail signature. They're coming to get me, man. Not going to stop me, man. I'm going to get my aluminum foil hat on.
If you can see them and not hear them, there might be something up.
Yeah, there might be. Yeah.
Just go on Talk of the Town.
So if you're,
what's that noise? Oh, my God, there's helicopters.
I saw one yesterday, actually.
Well,
I did
know,
see one.
They're going to say that because they're a bunch of dumbasses. So, you know.
No, don't say dumbasses. Just say nosy.
So if you're nude sunbathing, make sure you wave when they fly over.
There you go.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes. Look at that. I have issues.
Yeah.
Sorry, Bard.
We do have issues for a newspaper.
Ah.
That is true.
And finally, you may have noticed new colors lighting up Clock Tower here in the last couple of weeks. The city lit up the Clock Tower in support of Ukraine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was good.
That was good. That was nice.
Nice to see that.
Nice. Yeah, it's kind of sad. We can't really joke
about
that.
War, man.
No.
Yeah.
It's rough. Yeah. I just keep reading and, you know, making sure Zelensky's alive every morning.
Mm-hmm.
And just keep cheering him on to fight. But it's, I read some New York Times articles this morning. It's, I mean, the Russians are just killing people in the streets. They're just gunning down civilians now because that's all they got left. It's awful.
Did you see the cosmonauts in the ISS?
Yeah. They had a lot of yellow material, too, that they needed to use. Yes,
it
was awesome. A big old fuck you. Mother Russia, boo!
Until they get back, you know.
Until they're locked up forever with Navalny.
Or, conscripted.
No, they're not ever coming back, right? Because Russia's not going to send any more rockets. Like, they're the only ones that has to return the Soyuz rockets, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have to do some.
I'm trying to probably have rockets that can make it.
Well, and SpaceX. They better hurry.
I don't know. I don't think SpaceX has a rocket that can meet.
Come back and
I don't think they. Yeah, I don't know the ISS or not. It's a farther. I don't know.
It's SpaceX though. They'll create one.
They'll make one. They'll make something. Yeah. They'll blow up a few and then they'll make it.
A prototype. We'll put up a prototype and it may or may not work.
Yeah,
that's how science works.
Just has to work one time.
It's like the craptastic COVID test. Just got to work one time.
Like all those rockets, the Russians and stuff. Technically, those are prototypes because they've only fired like a couple, maybe 100 of them or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That's a fucking prototype.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Yes. That's what's considered a prototype.
Let's launch something on something by the lowest bidder. How'd that go?
Yeah.
Ride something that was funded by the lowest bidder. I forget how that.
But so thank you. Thank you, Russian cosmonauts. And we're praying for Ukraine.
Absolutely. Yeah. How about some good news?
Yes.
Yes. Let's have the good news.
So I was scrolling on Facebook like you do. and came across a post on our Talk of the Town, which is usually crap, so I found a nice one. Oh man, let's just get through this, okay?
She was monitoring her COVID levels.
Yeah, I was. So, I guess a little girl lost her stuffed bunny, and a mom came on Talk of the Town to thank a person who found the bunny, washed it, wrapped it in a plastic bag, and then taped it on a telephone pole for them to find it when they came by. So they went the extra mile and made sure that the little girl got her stuffed bunny again. So
it was super cute. And I did, when I saw that post too, and I was like, somebody was saying, is that a real bunny? And I looked at the picture. It does look like a little New Zealand white bunny.
I didn't think about that.
Those are a larger white rabbit.
Yeah.
And I was all stretched out. I was like, you know, I get it. Legit question. But it was so super cute. Very thoughtful.
It was very, very
stapled to the
Oh, man. No.
Only the bag. Only the bag. Bunny was all comfy in the bag.
No,
And if I can, I have a second good news, which I think is super cute. We should talk about, or at least, you know, mention. Shelf Life, you know, our friends there, we love Shelf Life. A gentleman wanted to propose to his girlfriend there, so he went there and asked if he could do it. And he put the ring, like the engagement ring, in a book and ended up proposing to his girlfriend at Shelf Life. So
that's,
I think,
really
that
sweet.
Is adorable. And as so a creative. Book lover, so creative.
Love it.
I think that is just wonderful. So
that's a novel idea.
Oh, geez. It was a real page turner.
It's a binding agreement.
Oh, man. I just. Hey, guys. Guess what time it is. Bart's Arts, Bart's Arts, Bart's Arts, Bart's Arts.
Bart's Arts.
Oh, yeah. That's the best one we had done. That's good.
You say that every time.
It keeps getting better.
Okay.
I was just looking at the picture of the book, and it looks like, which I have mixed feelings about this. That took a copy of
the
Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows built it into that.
Well, maybe that's
why we do like the Hobbit trilogy or whatever. Be like one ring to.
Well, it's the title was it says and the engagement stone, so it worked out.
Gotcha.
That's good. I like that.
But yes, I do have arts news.
Yay.
Upfront Art Space is hosting a fundraiser exhibition of Cuyahoga Falls High School student Anna Leone's work. The exhibit started just this past Friday, and the fundraiser is to help her while studying at Cambridge University this summer on a scholarship. The scholarship does not include travel or any living expenses. So she has about $10,000 she has to earn before April 1st.
Wrote an awesome article.
Yeah, we have an article on our website about it, which also includes the link to, if you can't make it to the show, if you're not in Cuyahoga Falls, you can donate to the GoFundMe page that Upfront Art Space set up.
Awesome.
Yeah, that is really impressive. So, need to go help her out.
Yeah, I want to go check out her show.
It looks like, based on the pictures that they took, there was a good showing on Friday.
Okay.
Well, good.
Hopefully she'll have more than enough by April.
Yeah, well, that's just right around the corner, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's going to have to hustle.
And in theater news, Walsh Jesuit High School Center Stage Theater is presenting Rodgers and Hammerstein's Cinderella beginning this Thursday, March 24th, through Sunday, and then it will be happening again the following week.
I was telling Mike that I want to get to the theater more often. I mean, we haven't really done that too often, so maybe we'll have to check that out.
What's the difference between Disney Cinderella versus Rodgers and Hammerstein Cinderella?
It's probably darker, I'm assuming. Disney made it a little bit more
I don't know.
Fluffy.
Rodgers and Hammerstein, there's a lot of stuff in there, I believe, that is, like, you know, different characters and whatnot that Disney didn't create.
Oh, okay. They kind of built it out.
It's very much the same story, and Rodgers and Hammerstein wrote their own music. That's their music.
Okay.
You know, Disney created songs that weren't there.
Okay.
Are there singing mice in there?
Yes.
You have to go and see.
We'll have to go and see. We'll report back.
And this Thursday also will be the Electric Pressure Cooker Cabaret happening at Jilly's Music Room, which I think it's the second time they've had it there. But this is 8 p.m. to 12 a.m. It's going to be a late night for a Thursday. They usually happen on Saturday evenings. But it's basically an open mic of anything goes. Yeah. I have been to shows opening up with a Wookiee, and halfway through was a ventriloquist, and then like three major 12-piece bands.
Oh, shoot.
Oh, jeez. Wow.
That's quite a hodgepodge. Very eclectic mix there. Was the Wookiee your favorite?
Well, yeah.
It's a little chewy.
Well, that was a very sick Wookiee.
It was.
That was a Steven Wookiee.
Yeah. That's a Wookiee after he's...
I mean, really, how's he keep it from sticking to his fur?
Oh, gosh. All right.
Or, I'm sorry, hair.
Well, you do know the Charmin has those little Charmin bears with the little poop
on their butt.
Well,
that's true.
Yeah.
So true.
They should incorporate Wookiees in their commercials.
She's got a...
Jeez. I went sideways. Sorry, my fault.
I'm going to have to just get like $20 hold music to put everything in there every time.
I'll fund it.
We want to thank our listeners for sticking with us this week.
We have listeners.
And apologize. We and honestly, to apologize to our listeners.
Still listening to us after all these.
They're dedicated, man. They're dedicated.
Yep.
Yeah, they're all sitting humming. There's like, something. Man, this is shitty.
Or this is like sad because they keep coming back to our old podcast of craziness.
Oh, boy.
So email us and tell us why you still listen to us.
or why you dumped us.
Just like Chewie did.
Oh.
Chewie's got a bidet. You know he does.
Yep.
Yeah.
He's modern. He's a modern Wookiee.
And a big ass towel to dry himself off after.
Sorry,
he's one of those hair dryers.
Anywho, someone's got a screenshot Bart right now.
It's just that look of disappointment.
He's like, why do I hang out with these people?
Yeah. Something wrong with
those. I need a new hobby.
Yeah. Need to find some new friends.
I'd rather hit my thumb with a hammer than be sitting here right now.
Come on now.
Oh, we're fun. It's a good time.
I wouldn't keep coming back if that was the case.
We're entertaining. We might be lowbrow, but we're entertaining.
Or something.
So for now, we'll say goodbye and hope you join us next time. Or maybe we hope you don't join us next time. We don't know anymore.
Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening, yes.
Bye.
Bye.
Later.
Later.
FalseCast is a production of the Falls Free Press in Cuyahoga Falls, Ohio. Please check out the Falls Free Press at fallsfreepress.com or on social media at facebook.com/fallsfreepress. We thank you for listening to this episode, which was recorded and edited by Bart Sullivan. Please subscribe to our podcast and tell your Call to Falls friends and family so they can listen as well.
Sorry, my fault.
I'm going to have to just get like $20 hold music to put everything in there every time.
I'll fund it.